Greetings to you all in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'd be curious to know what the women discussed about this virtuous woman. That never says anything about finding a virtuous man, but that sure in the world does talks about a woman. So I would be curious to, we usually like when Sunday school comes back, they have a little dialogue or whatever. What'd you learn? What points did you pick out? No comments or what? That's interesting. I agree with your perspective of that. And yet our conversation maybe was a little bit more, it's like she has the power to make that decision. She really does. I don't think your dad would choose to buy something or sell something without mom's perspective. And therefore she does have the final say. Almost. Because it's very, very valuable. They have different perspectives of, is this a good thing? Will it benefit my family? And so, like, yeah, when you look at the thing like you're feeling, we talked about sometimes you'd feel like you can't fulfill all these roles of doing this and this and this, you know, in a literal sense, but not even your God-given abilities and as a daughter of the king, you are doing those things. A woman in her household is doing lots of those things, even on a daily basis. Yeah. Yeah, I know it's like the balance of today's society of look at me and the women's role and live and, you know, and all that. And yet if godly men or godly marriages give the woman, the godly woman, the household, the freedom and the ability to plant a vineyard and buy a field and consider it and make of those things, it's powerful. I think that is her role. And I think we have godly women fulfilling that and doing that. I really believe that we do, you know. I think, you know, it's there. Like I said, I would not consider buying a horse without my wife's perspective of that horse. Not necessarily in the dollar value, but in the, you know, in the overall soundness of that horse and correctness of that horse. And even a dog. She can look at a dog and tell me if it's like, this is a good dog or it's not, you know. And then, yeah. She provided bread for our family for a long time, you know. But she was also, how did she do that? Because I give her the freedom and I give her the ability and she had the means to do it. And she took my $100 and turned it into $5,000, you know. That's what the ability they have to do. That's the power of that. So that's why I look at that. But, okay, let's move on. Thank you anyways for sharing that. It's just interesting. So talking a little bit about prayer today, and I'm going to open up with Isaiah chapter 65. We're going to read several verses here. starting in verse 17, I think, to the end, to 25. and just the power and effectiveness, and, you know, he tells us that, you know, the effective prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, talks about that. And James, just to strengthen us and encourage us, I guess, to, again, to not be afraid to reach out to God, to ask and receive and be blessed by that. But Here in Isaiah, the last, in chapter 65, I'm just gonna read it. It says, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create for. Behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die and 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit, and they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." And then, given the next two verses in chapter 66 there, we talked about the woman, but let's see what verse 2 says about the man. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." So back to verse 24, I guess. Isaiah is saying here, God is telling Isaiah that his people, the blessings of his people, and because of before they would build, and then they would, you know, they're building, the enemy came in and destroyed them, took it over, and they didn't even get to reap the benefits of the labor of their hands, the labor of the fruits of the vineyards and stuff that they planted. And here he's telling them that it will come to pass. They will, they won't labor in vain. They will be able to live in the houses they build. They will be able to eat the fruits of their thing. But he even says in verse 24, it's kind of like, is the one key verse, I guess, in as a prayer, a request to remember that God knows every thought and content, intentions of the heart, and your mind, before you even think it, you know, before you even utter it, before you ever ask, he knows. He says here, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear them." You know, that he hears every every, like I said, that he hears every thought and content of our heart. Let's look at another example here. Let's go to 1 Kings. Chapter 17. As in an example of prayer, and looking at Elijah here. The nation of Israel had fallen away from God, and Elijah came prophesying against Ahab here because they had turned to, you know, idolatry, and they built they built shrines and monuments and stuff to end up to God. And Elijah came, says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then God told him to go to the brook of that brook, to go into hiding, and the ravens would feed him there, and he could drink from that brook. There would always be water there for him. But he doesn't give us a time there. And then James actually tells us that was a span for 3 years and 6 months. It just said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then let's look at chapter 18. They was sought out, and they was looking for him. I mean, there was a severe drought. There was a famine in the land because of there was no rain. And then the challenge that Elijah had given them about to acknowledge who their God was, or in verse 21, it says in chapter 18, it says, and Elijah came unto all the people. This is where he made that altar, and he brought fire down from heaven and burned it. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He said he was the only prophet that remained of the Lord. Baal had 450 men that were prophets. And he said, and he laid that forth in them. We know the story there down through there of the challenge that he had. And he poured water. I wonder what, it's like a question that came to my mind as I was reading this. Where did the water come from? Because it hadn't rained for so very long period of time. But he soaked that altar with water until it ran over the wood and the rocks. And and the challenge was there in verse 36, I guess we'll start. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God. He is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, and let none of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance. There is a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Just like he fell before the Lord. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. And seven times he did this. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was in Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab unto the entrance of Jezreel. So, I don't know. There's a question that I read. When he said that it would not rain upon the land because of the sins of the nation of Israel. Was that a prayer? Was that a prophecy? I don't think there's that much to differentiate between it. but it didn't rain. And here he prayed, he knelt to the ground, and he asked God, to bring back the rain, because the people hadn't acknowledged that he was the Lord God, King of all. And it came to pass, and it happened. And it goes back to Isaiah that it, like it says, it shall come to pass that before they call, that he would answer them, and while they are still speaking, I will hear him. So even in this example of Elijah, you know, the first request or whatever that he made also was affected him greatly. It was not just for the, you know, the abundance of things and the easy things in you could say that would have benefited him. It wasn't pleasant for him to go stay by that brook and be fed by the ravens and be in hiding because they was seeking him out. They actually sought to kill him, but it was his, but he was, so the effectiveness of that was, I guess, the example that I get or take from this was that he was within the will of God. You know, he was doing what God had asked him and showed him to do. Were the things that he had received easy? I would say not. And the same thing that, in a sense, you could say that even in Christ Jesus' prayer and in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know? I mean, his prayer to God was that cup would pass from him. And then yet he said, nevertheless. So I think it's an example that we can take. You know, sometimes we ask for things or we pray for things, and yet the mentality, the positiveness thing is like God can bring it to pass, but even Jesus said, nevertheless, if that's not my will, but your will, O Lord. It's not what I will, but what you will. He gives us another example. Go to Mark. We're going to take an example from the New Testament here, Mark chapter 11. Jesus is giving his disciples here a lesson on prayer too, when he is give the example of the fig tree, elements of that. Let's just read. I think it starts in Mark chapter 11, verse 12, 12 to 26. He was at this point, you know, he had told them in the first part of the chapter that they was go to the village and they was going to find a colt tied there and they was going to bring him, and that he was going to, that's what he was going to ride. This is his ride into Jerusalem. This was the triumphal entry into Jerusalem where they laid down palm branches and stuff on their way, and they was shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. And then on the next day, starting in verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, it says. This is Jesus, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eateth fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that had sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, the next day, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, it says. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, So, these next are red lettered in my Bible, whatever, but let's take note of these. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So the parable is an illustration of you could say, of our need for faith in the prayers that we pray. Because believing in that prayer is tapping into the power that God provides of the impossible, the things that are humanly impossible. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, he tells us that, But Jesus looked at them and said, With men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. He's exhorting his disciples here to believe that they have already received whatsoever their request was in their prayer. Faith is accepting that, even though the answer may not come immediately. Even though you may not see the immediate results of that, but the answer may still be future, but it still asks us to have faith in God. That is the key to an answered prayer. And that's what he was telling them there. You know, I say unto you, whatever things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. And then there's also a key element to that our sins are forgiven, that we have forgiven others, that we are clear as we stand, you know. Verse 24 and 25. He's telling us that you're sent to be forgiven, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you of all your trespasses. The word desire means to ask, it means to beg, it means to crave, it means to cry out. When we have the heartfelt thing, and we look at the different aspects of even when Elijah, when he was praying there, it says he had fell to the ground. He didn't even look up. He sent his servant to go check, to go look. He kept coming back and saying, No, there's nothing there. No, there's nothing there. And he did that like six times. And when he finally came back the seventh time, you know, he said, Yep, there's a cloud out there the size of a man's hand. It wasn't very much. And when he saw that, immediately Elijah knew, You go tell Ahab to get down off that mountain while he has time, because the storms are coming. And then he even got up on his feet and ran before him so they would find safety inside the city. You know, was that seven times? How long a period of time was all that? We don't know. But I guess as we pray, we ask, and we believe that we receive, I guess it's also gives us an example of standing and being ready for when the answer comes, if it's what is required of you, to be able to act upon it and to move and to do it. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So Psalms 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Proverbs 10, the fear of the wicked will come upon him and the desire of the righteous will be granted. So, you know, if there's something that you want, like in asking something bad of somebody or evil or something, something that's not good, I don't think you can pray about it, or you shouldn't expect that to come to pass, because that, you know, you're not asking you're asking amiss. Maybe that would be the verse that goes with that. 1 John 3:22, and says, whatsoever we ask, whatsoever we desire, is another translation, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing within his sight. 1 John 5:14 and 15, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, there again, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We can have the faith and confidence that he hears us and he knows what's best for us. Put it like that, I guess. In Mark chapter 9, we have this parable here was... this was with the father that his son or child was falling into the fire. He was asking for help. In verse 22, chapter 9, it says, oft times it hath cast him into the fire and unto the waters to destroy him. But he's saying, but if thou canst do anything, he says, have compassion on us and help us. That was the simple words that the father had told to ask Jesus. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I think that's a valid request. A valid thing that we can be confident in asking God from time to time. It's just like, I don't see this. I can't find my way. I don't know the answer to this, you know, but you do. Help my unbelief. And God hears that before you ever ask. Another, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father cried out and said, and it says he was, it even says, take note, it says, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. He was weeping, you know. He was begging. His desire was there. There was earnestness with that when he said that. I just noticed that as I said, you know, he was weeping. Lord, I believe, but just help my unbelief. You know, the word believe here in... it says it means you to think it to be true, to be persuaded, to have confidence in what he believed in. It's a conviction and trust to which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative, which is the law of the soul, to trust in Jesus or God as able to aid either in obtaining or doing something, by mere acknowledging of the fact or event. That was a dictionary definition of that in believing. True belief in God will be exhibited continually by going back to God for something. It will show that you believe he can do it and that you believe he will do it again and again and again, not just one time. So we have no fear of asking of God. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. Luke 18:42 says, and Jesus said unto him, receive your sight, thy faith has made you whole. And to receive something, it means that you literally, if you receive something, if I give you something, if something is given to you to receive it, you take a hold of it. You lay a hold of it, and you use it. Hebrews 11:1, we know the verse there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. In Matthew 6, 9-12, he gives us the example again of extending and asking for forgiveness. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I think that's a key element, too, also to our prayers not being hindered. And it's also asking God to not only to forgive your sins and your shortcomings, but to forgive others that have also sinned against you. It's asking for God to forgive that person for sinning against you, for doing something bad or evil to you. So, there's many, many more examples, I guess. You know, he tells them, he goes on there when they had left there in Mark chapter 9, and Jesus actually took that person, you know, by the hand, lifted him up when he arose. And then the disciples ask him that question there. It's like the disciples were involved in this, and they tried to drive the demon out of this person. It's like they petitioned God. They prayed to God. They was asking him for deliverance, you know. And then when the father had actually met Jesus and asked him that, and Jesus told him that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then his answer to his disciples were there simply, and he said unto them in verse 29, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. So he connected those two together to be, as a powerful element or powerful petition, and combining them together to and reaching out and asking God to have for the deliverance. He also went on there in that chapter and told him that how his life was going to be taken from them. So just keep in mind, I guess, as we ask God for things, the importance of asking the Father, not only to forgive us but forgive us our sins, but also those who have sinned against us. But he's promised to answer our prayers. That if the petitions, the petitions must be in harmony with the Spirit of God and God's will and the truth of His Word. I mean, it really does. If we expect to have answers, it enables our faith to grow, and it strengthens us to receive the answer that God is willing to give us. And that we're willing to say, thy will be done, in whatever the answer is and however it may come. God is always ready to respond to us as we are obedient to him. I guess maybe the key is thinking about, like, sometimes, like, we don't always know. But just know that whatever the situation is, whatever you're asking for, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. Taking strength and courage from that. I don't have a lot more. I'd just be open for sharing or testimony in regards to anything that I've said, I guess, or share other verses or other examples would be awesome, I guess.